Can I have a couple people help with the communion? How about Bruce's friend? Is he still out there?
Well, Brad? Or, oh, yeah. It is his friend that's got cancer.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's
still. Okay. Jesus, we look to you as our healer. We know that your body was bruised and broken for us. And we know that it's by your stripes that we were healed. You said that you were the bread of life. And you told us to take this as often as we will. And we know that we haven't done anything good enough to deserve God's grace and favor. And it was you that did it. And you did a perfect work in our lives. And we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive grace and mercy in the time of need. And receive our healing from your broken body and your stripes. We thank you for this. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you that you did it on purpose. You were God's ultimate sacrifice. And your blood is the only thing that could set us free. And it's your blood that is the only thing that could wash us clean. And it's your blood that makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's your blood. It's all about you, Jesus. And we thank you for taking care of us and saving us and healing us. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 10, verse 10. And a lot of people you can take comfort in this. You are unique, but you're not that much different than anybody else in the whole scheme of things. I mean, basically, you got 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 ears and nose. You're pretty much alike. And we're pretty much alike in our adventures in building our relationship, our fellowship with Jesus and God. I imagine probably everybody has had conversations with God as though he was out there in some far off distant universe. I know I did. It's okay. But one of the best gifts that you'll ever receive in life is understanding that God is on the inside of you. He's there. He's in there. He's in there. Now look at John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That abundant life, that's our goal, is to have that life of Jesus flowing through us in such a way that people get affected in our day-to-day lives. People that you run into at the grocery store, people that you run into at the gas station, people that you run into wherever you may be, get affected by that life of Jesus flowing through you. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I want to look at two places here. I want to look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Think about that for just a second. He was made in the likeness of men. Now go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to the Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Though Jesus is completely God, he was born completely human. You have to understand this. You'll never ever get an effective grasp on operating in the kingdom of God unless you understand this part. There is people sitting in pews every day with the assumption that when Jesus was on this earth, he was operating as God. They leave out the humanity part. So then they always had the excuse, and I've heard people say this from the pulpit while I was preaching. Talk about a miracle of Jesus, they said, well, that was Jesus. Well, so what? That's you, if you'll believe it. Don't take yourself out of the game by saying that it was God doing it. See, one thing I really like what the Bible says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus of heaven, Jesus of Nazareth. Why is that so important? Because he identified himself with our humanity in the flesh. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed a man on this earth. A flesh and bone man on this earth. With the Holy Ghost. And he went out doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, this is the same thing that's available to you. I know Jesus is all God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't deny that. But on this earth, he took on form of a man. He identified with us. And he showed us how to do this, though. And he went through every single temptation. And he conquered every one of them. See, people like to run around saying that God is giving them temptations. And the Bible says, don't ever say you're being tempted by God, because he cannot be tempted, neither will he tempt man. So what's going on? Jesus took those temptations and he defeated them. And they had to be real temptations. Every single temptation that you're facing, Jesus faced. Every single one of them. And he defeated them. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched at the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All of that overcoming power was found in his life. And he knows what you're going through. Don't think that just because he is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, don't think that he's just sitting up there in heaven waiting for you to make a mistake. So he was in all points tempted. And it also says that he understands our infirmities. He knows what you feel like. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. He's done that. And then he says, come boldly to the throne room of grace. Well, I just can't stop thinking about these things. I just can't stop doing that thing. You know what? You're right. But Jesus can. Jesus is your victory. When we run to him, which is what we're supposed to do, he helps us. The world will say, you know, you need to quit drinking, you need to quit drugging, you need to quit doing this, you need to quit doing that, quit doing this, quit doing that. Get your life right and then go to God. Guess what? You're not going to get there. Jesus is the only one that can get your life right, but you got to go to him. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're clean or not. Get all of this. He wants you to bring your dirty old self up to him so he can clean you up. That's the only way you're going to get there, is if you go to Jesus. And he doesn't care about the sin. He cares about the sinner. He's already taken care of the sin thing. He's already paid the price for that. What he wants is you. He wants you to go to him. Let him love you into wholeness. Amen? Well, you don't know what I did. He does. I don't care what you did. He already paid for it. Amen. He's already taken care of it. 1 John 1:7 tells us, this is for the Christians, and if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. If you haven't been born again, get born again, you're washed immediately. No questions asked. And you don't have to sit in a room and confess your sins for 3 hours before you can be born again. That's not biblical. That's not repentance. That's some work of the flesh. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." During his ministry on earth, he conquered sickness. You know, he conquered the winds and the waves. Go over to Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried not only the only son of his mother, she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." He came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He conquered death. He conquered the wind and the waves. He conquered the powers of darkness and death. His life brings victory over the devil and all of his works. And he put his life, he put this life in you. You know, those guys were pretty suspicious people back then. I would have liked to have seen the race when Jesus said, "Young man, rise," and he come up out of that casket. I would have liked to have seen the foot race going down the street. You know, Kenneth Copeland went to an island country one time to do a revival, a big meeting, and some lady brought her dead son to him in her arms. And he grabbed that kid and prayed for that kid, and that kid came back to life, handed that boy to his mother, and everything was good, and he thought, the revival is going to be on now. And he said it was less people than what he, I mean, it was way less. He said they stayed away in droves. Don't be disconcerted, you know, don't be sad, you know, if people stay away from you. If you pray for somebody and something happens, they get healed or somebody gets delivered, people, a lot of times, they want to see supernatural, but when they see it, they don't want to see it, especially religious folks. Religious folks are the biggest pain in the butt when it comes to the supernatural things of God you ever seen in your life, especially the Bible Belt. I've never seen anybody so obstinate in all my life towards the things of God as somebody who has been sitting in the Bible Belt for 50 years, praising God, shouting hallelujah. They know everything. They're right. By God, you're wrong. You do something, they say, well, we just don't believe that. I finally told one guy one time, I said, I don't care what you believe, because you're not going to receive anything you don't believe, so don't worry about it. Just go on your way. Amen. Don't waste time on it. Don't waste time on the religious argument. Just go on. I'll tell you, somebody who will listen, somebody who's sick, somebody laying in a hospital bed, somebody who's lost as a goose in a hailstorm, looking for help, those guys, they'll listen to you. Somebody's sick, they want prayer. Amen. You know, Jesus went to the cross. And that life in him put an end to everything that is natural. Everything that is natural. Literally, the Adamic race. The sickness, poverty, failures, pains, curses, and death. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Just look at that one. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All of that stuff that came with Adam, Jesus defeated at the cross. The sickness, poverty, failures, pains, curses, death, all of that stuff. All that was natural ceased to be in the life of his. And you know what? He put that life inside of you. You know, when you get born again, that's one thing that's important. But Jesus said you'd come to the knowledge of the truth. He said you'd know the truth and the truth would make you free. Even though Jesus got on the cross and he was, you know, in the flesh, you know, like a man, and he got on the cross and all that natural stuff ceased, all that was supernatural remained. And he put that life in you. You have inside of you the ability to operate in the supernatural. And religious folks get crazy when you start talking about the supernatural. As if they really know anything about supernatural. Did you know that any answer to prayer is supernatural? You know, for a long time, man cannot have that contact with God. They had to go to a high priest on this earth. Now you can have one-on-one fellowship with him. You don't have to go through any rituals. You don't have to have anything happen other than you must be born again. Actually, go ahead. You don't have to do anything other than call on the name of Jesus. First of all, you know, God does answer the prayers of the unsaved. Did you know that? You ain't getting saved unless he hears your prayer. When you call on the name of Jesus. That's supernatural. Every born-again believer has operated in the supernatural at some point in their life. The minute they got born again, that's supernatural. You know, every healing is supernatural. Every gift from God is supernatural. You have divine protection that is supernatural. You know, there's angels that have saved you from certain disasters you don't even know about. You have no idea. You're just driving down the road and you don't know what happened. But all of a sudden you just decided to drive a little bit slower. And you got there, this car driving in front of you just seems like a normal occurrence. But if you had been at your same course without slowing down, you may have crashed. You don't know what he saved you from. And that's supernatural protection that you don't know about. Yeah. He put that life in you. You know, he rose from the dead. This is the basis for salvation. You know, we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life. And we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And in that life of his was added the power of the resurrection. You know, those prayers in Ephesians that we go through every once in a while, that would be good for you to see that. How God used that power of the resurrection and he put that in you. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that recreated your heart. And he's the very same Holy Spirit that comes upon you when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's by that power of Holy Spirit that you go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Amen? We're not going to have enough time to get through the next one. So we're going to stop there. And we're going to go eat cake. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to rightfully divide your word. We thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus does for us every day. Protecting us, taking care of us, teaching us, guiding us, showing us how to live by your laws of liberty, faith, and love. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that he will do for us in the future. As we receive it by grace, in the name of Jesus, amen.